Let me give you the theory behind what we're doing this afternoon. We have gotten into the practice in recent years of trying to jam so much into the business sessions that we end up cutting off some of the more of a broader ministry presentation that we'd like to do. So this year we're trying things a bit different, and we're just going to focus on four different aspects of yearly meeting ministries across Iowa and give them a little longer time. If we get started here in the next 15 seconds or so, the intent is to give about 15 minutes to somebody that's presenting, maybe a couple, 3 minutes of questions and answers, and then move to the next one. So it's going to be done in time for the World Cafe. So, and we need a moment to set up for the World Cafe, so we do need a little break in between. We're going to start this afternoon with Camp Quaker Heights and all the ministries and whatever they want to talk about today. I have no clue. Oh. Things are happening.
Come on. I am Julie Heisel. I'm from Wilson Friends, and I just finished my first year as the camp board chair or clerk or whatever it's called. And I thought we should start by explaining the difference between camp board and young friends, which I did not understand when they asked me to be on the camp board. Not saying that I would have said no, but so we're up here talking basically about the facilities, because not just the Quaker camps that happen, not just Friends Camp, but we've got other people using the camp, and we have stuff that goes on year-round at camp. So we're thinking about the physical place. And I just want to share a few things that we're looking towards the future doing. And then Chip has some pictures, and he's going to tell you what went on this year. We, at our meeting yesterday, we approved a new maintenance shed, which has been something they've been wanting to do for several years. And we're going to use some of the gift money that we received a few years ago for that. There are also, this late summer and fall, Chip's going to start working on renovating the old nurse's cabin, which was the old girl's bathhouse. And it will be kind of a place for some of the staff to stay. And another thing that was recommended by Keith Smith this summer was we want to try to collect some camp stories, like the example he used. He told us this crazy story about Wes Blanchard, like, dashing down a hill towards a river and saving a young child who was in the back of a car that had rolled down the hill, which kind of sounded miraculous to me. You would maybe have to ask Wes or somebody to tell you more about it. But Keith's concern was that some of those stories about the, not that that happened that long ago, Wes, but some of the early stories about camp are being lost to our generations that are there now. So that may be something to think about. What are your stories about camp? And it doesn't have to be a heroic story about you rescuing a baby from certain death in the river, because I know I don't have any of those, but fun stories about camp, your spiritual experience at camp, those sorts of things. So just be keeping an eye out for that. I think we have a few camp board members here. If there are, would you stand up? There were earlier camp board members. There we go. So if you have any comments about camp or concerns or attaboys, you can seek out one of us. Now I'm going to turn it over to Chip.
All right. Alicia, if you want to get started. We've had a busy year so far, and the year's not over yet. As of right now, there's a group of 90 that is at camp, experiencing camp, while we're not there. So I'm trusting that everything is going smoothly. So, and it is. I just talked with Amy. So big news at camp. This is the big news. Last year, it was approved to start fundraising and to be able to pave the driveway to camp. And so you can see from the pictures here that it's paved all the way up around the chapel there, the circle drive, and then also the parking lot of Tall Oaks. And in my report, I reported that nobody has complained about the road. even the UPS driver said, this is so much nicer. Apparently, the driveway was bad. So I'm trying to remember the date there in May that they finished up, but it is a huge improvement and just makes camp look that much more professional and that more inviting to even, you know, I'm interested to see how it plays out, you know, in the wintertime when we're a little bit slower, if maybe some more groups might be interested in using camp because we do have a paved driveway and are able to clear it a lot better, so. Another new purchase, the camp tractor was given to Meskwaki Friends Mission. They did not have a tractor to move, a large tractor to move snow, and we were also looking at purchasing something bigger and nicer, and so the camp purchased this Caterpillar 246C skid loader, and then the camp tractor was given to Meskwaki to use for pushing snow and tasks around there. So this is the 2 years ago, I believe it would have been this fall, camp purchased the Divine property. There was a retired priest, and this is before you even go down the driveway to camp. This is the Divine cabin, Divine Cottage. We're trying out some different names for it. But I didn't get any before pictures of the inside of the cabin, but this is what it looks like now. Chris, if you want to stand up, and Lauren too. Those are a couple of guys that, come on, Lauren. Those are a couple guys, the young adults from Bangor Liberty. They're the two guys, and I mean, Larry was there too, and a lot of those folks from Bangor Liberty came, stripped out the old wood paneling, and then they sheetrocked, they tore out the carpet, tore out the cabinets in the kitchen, and so you can see they repainted the chimney, sheetrocked the walls, painted the walls, put new window coverings on, put new flooring down, and so this is available to rent. We're kind of seeing how it works to be able to rent out to people as a retreat cabin. So if there's, you know, if you're knowing of somebody that's maybe not looking for a bed and breakfast without the breakfast, this would be the place for them. So I have not spent the night in there yet, but it's awesome. So this is what used to be kind of our canteen area or our bike shed. A couple years ago, last year we approved to build a new building, and this is what it looks like now from the outside. And this is how well the bikes are organized now. if I could have taken a before picture of the other bike shed and seen them all, you know, 15 bikes smashed into a little 8x8 area. And Keith Smith helped organize all the putters and balls and the basketballs as well. There's racks and everything on the inside. Jim and Caleb Hooksema came up for elementary camp this week, or this summer, and they spent a lot of time in the courtside or the snack area. They put all of the corrugated steel along the bottom, and then they put the barn board up above, and that was before the air conditioner was in there, and so they were sweating away, but it was great to have those. It's volunteers that like that come up, you know, for even just a couple of days and make my job a lot easier. There's been a lot of questions about the challenge course that we're trying to work on and implement here at camp. This is one of the obstacles, just a 10-foot climbing wall using, the idea is to get all of your group up and over the wall and help in teamwork. And we've got little, instructions, or questions to go on after you accomplish the task to see, what things work, what things didn't work, how well did we work as a group. So that's one of the obstacles. Another obstacle is, of course, the 10-foot pole with the tire and being able to, as a group, get that tire up and over the pole. And this one, it can be used a couple of different ways, as a truss fall and also as getting your whole group onto the, I think it's just a little, if it's 20 inches by 20 inches, I think, or 2 foot by 2 foot, a little pad, getting your whole group on there and working as a team to see if you can, how long you can keep your group on there, or if you can even get your group on there, depending on your numbers. So those are a few of the elements there at the challenge course, kind of challenge course, team building type of course. And of course, they all have questions to go along with each element. We did purchase new bedding for Tall Oaks. We had, the Whites were there, and after they left, someone from their group said, here's $100, can we try to get maybe some new bedding on some of the beds? So they were in need of some new comforters, I guess I should say. All the sheets and everything else were fine, but the comforters were just kind of falling apart. So Alicia did a lot of research, and that was all her. but she found what looks really good there, and so I think most of our Tall Oaks groups have been impressed with the bedding. And we'll kind of go through here. These are some of the Quaker groups that have come to camp. This is the young adult group that came up, and Little Fry, and elementary camp, and junior high, high school camp. This is another, like we were talking about, Julie was saying, camp is used all year round. Some of the groups, this one is a Lutheran church, St. Paul's Laos Lutheran Church out of Des Moines. And so this is Camp Quaker Heights is their camp. They think of, They've come up for work days and things before. They think of Camp Quaker Heights as their camp as well. So this is a group of them all coming up. They come up usually on a Thursday night and then stay through Sunday. So that's one of the groups. One of the other groups that uses is Lakeview Camps from Pella, and they are one of the bigger groups that uses the camp for their programming. And they do about, I think there was nine different camps that they held at Camp Quaker Heights, probably a total of maybe 7 full weeks of the summer that they use. And that's the group that's on site right now. So camp is being used for other people as well. And Tall Oaks is a lot of times used for family reunions in the summertime, and then in the fall, winter, spring, a lot of times used with, there's a Cornerstone Church in Zeering. They have, they've held a marriage retreat, some men's retreats and women's retreats that have come and used. That's one of the local churches in the area that uses camp for their ministry as well. This is some of our staff from the summer, and this is, on the top left, none of you probably recognize that fellow. That is Matthew Fitch. He's a guy from Haviland, Kansas, a student at Berklee College, Berklee College in Haviland, Kansas. To the right is Caden Stewart. He's from the Linville or LeGrand area. Next is Emily Wyatt from the LeGrand area, and the far right in the back is Amy Wyatt, who is our cook for the summer. The front left is Jasani Whitehead. He is a student. A student at the Promise Academy at Quakerdale in New Providence. And so he's on staff this summer. Then there we do have one staff in the back, Bailey. She was on staff this summer. And then, of course, the next one with the beard is Brad Hupp. He was the intern at camp and with Scott this summer. And then on the far right is Katie Barber, who is now in Belize, but Sam and Becky Barber's oldest daughter. So, but this is a picture that pretty much sums up camp for me. It's a lot of fun to be walking through camp and the sun is setting and there's a chapel service going on inside and you can hear the kids singing. And there's just a lot of lives that have been touched through camp. Even talking with people in this room about the place that camp has in your hearts. And I've only been there for a little while. So just want to say thanks for all of your support and your prayers. And I didn't think I would get choked up on this, so I'm not sure why. But just thank you so much for your support. And I'm truly blessed to be able to say that I work at Camp Quaker Heights. So thank you. Oh, if there's any questions James.
I was wondering what it would take to have a church men's retreat there, or do we have a yearly meeting men's retreat or a couples retreat or anything like that?
Not currently. We do. One thing I did forget to mention. Oh, golf retreat. Yes, golf retreat. What are the dates on that? In September 12th and 13th. Men's golf retreat. Oh, golf retreat. Sorry, golf retreat. And then the one thing dates I did forget to say is September 26th, 27th, and 28th is our family camp. And I haven't come up with a cool name yet. I'm kind of counting on maybe Scott to have a cool name for me because it was his idea to. We call it family camp, but you don't. We're all in the family of God, so we're all invited. So even if it's just you and your spouse, or if it's just you, or if you want to bring the grandkids or your kids with you, everyone is welcome. We're all family. So, yes, there are brochures. If you visit downstairs is the camp's table, and there are some brochures for family camp with prices and everything on there that you can see. Yes, there's also a brochure for the Divine Cottage. You can see other pictures of the inside and everything and see that as well. Yes, I make this announcement every time, but pastors in Iowa Yearly Meeting are able to to use either the divine cabin or the guest cabin at no cost to them. And so if your pastor is not here, make sure your pastor knows that they're welcome to come up and use Camp Quaker Heights as a kind of retreat to get away if they need to get away for a week or just a weekend. And we'll try not to bother them too much.
For James's question, is my understanding correct that if he want to get something like that going, if you wanted to, it's just a matter of planning it, isn't it?
Yes.
And reserving the date.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we would love to host, if there was a marriage retreat that wanted to get put together or a men's retreat. I would like to do a wilderness retreat. With maybe some canoeing down the river and camping. So, but I just haven't put that together yet. So,
Spencer wants to do that in January.
In January. You and me, Spencer.
Hardcore.
Let's do it. yeah.
Chip, I have a question. Are you pretty much booked for the summertime? And not the remainder of the years? Are you doing any marketing at all of the camp? Or, and maybe I know I see a lot of the programs, so I was wondering, how are we marketing the off times or what's
most
available?
Of our marketing has been kind of mouth to mouth. We haven't set out intentionally to do a lot of marketing. I know some people get tired of me wearing my camp shirt everywhere, but that's a big deal. With me, you know, I'm in Waterloo or Des Moines or somewhere, and they're asking about my shirt or, you know. So a lot of our marketing has been done through that way. And especially our local, in the local area, talking about Tall Oaks and renting Tall Oaks, a lot of people have used it for whatever the case may be, and have heard good things about Tall Oaks and the facility and, you know, our staff and everything. So,
I was just going to quickly say that we have been thinking about new ways, you know, to get people to know about camp, but we're trying to make sure that, you know, as a nonprofit, that we're not going to run into any problems with that. So that's one thing.
I have a
other people have their hands up. Go ahead.
Is it on? Okay, there we go. So I don't know if you guys had thought about this, but Summit is coming up, and that's a Quaker conference about setting up a booth for camp out at Summit. And I don't know if that's something
in San Diego, right?
Yep. But we could broaden for the internship or for all that stuff, having marketing up at a booth at Summit.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's give another round of applause. Deneen, do you have any PowerPoint? No, okay. So I just want to make sure we didn't move the computer or if we needed to. I just wanted to say that, you know, a lot of these new improvements are the result of this $500,000 anonymous gift that we received less than 2 years ago. We haven't spent all that money yet. And, in fact, yesterday morning, we approved another major development process there at camp. Is that right? We're going to put up the long-awaited maintenance shed. It's a lot more than a shed. Okay, it's going to be a very nice facility where we can get inside and do work in the winter if we need to and put a shop in it, and that will be getting done in the next few months. Okay, we need to transition to the Meskwaki. Friends Church, Friends Center, what do you want to call it today, Deneen? Mission. She's still writing her sermon.
Before we start, I just want to open in prayer, or say a prayer, I guess. ke chi manadu anuginak ayuapiag ke gimes mahak metuseneniag echi de biarte unabien ki semihag ke gimes metuseneniag ki semiha itepana diarstag inge hueskin eshagataman inge anabiehatig inge gashk mahak ishayaj nabien ki aj mahak mahak ishayaj ke gimes megninan inge hueshe mamatamuan Kiestemi hag mahag. Ihnen ehkä ennen maaj. Wenna. Ushi se maan. Amen. Well, I've been the director at Meskwaki for over a year now. And just wanted to say that we've been averaging anywhere from 50 to 60 kids on Wednesday. The attendance has dropped just a little bit, and I think, you know, there's been other activities within the tribe itself that is, you know, and the kids, you know, have been going to some of those, so, and I just feel like they'll be back, though, because I just got done talking to the group at, a group of kids that I was sharing over at College Avenue, and I told the kids, I said, you know, I said, these kids, I said, a lot of them that come here, I said, don't have parents. A lot of them might live with a relative or don't have a mom and dad or just, you know, single family, uncle, whatever, one of those situations. And they come to the church, and I think it's, they feel accepted there. They feel welcome there. They feel safe there. You know, one of the first things I did was just, you know, when I had, the Lord had spoke to me to go there and help with the kids, and that's what I focused on. I just seen, you know, a lot of disorder. You know, so then I got, you know, started working on that and just firm, you know, firm with the kids and what I expected of them and just really got that under control. And the thing is, the attendance increased after that, after I got this order, you know, and after I got them to, you know, hands to yourself. I mean, just simple, basic stuff, you know, and it was just kind of like, oh, like they never heard that before. Or they didn't know that. They just weren't, you know, so I think once that, you know, they've come a long ways. And once we did that, we're able to start, you know, teaching them and sharing with them. And there's, you know, I guess there's some things I just, anyway. But, you know, we have a few helpers that come on Wednesday. We have a bus that picks up kids. And, you know, I was telling the group over there, I said, without, you know, these kids could not come to church unless we went to get them. There's just no way. There might be a few of them that could, but most of these kids could not be there. And I was telling them that in order for, you know, we'd have to bring them, but somebody also has to provide the fuel, provide the, like, the bus that we pick them up with. And I'm grateful, you know, I'm grateful. And I am teaching the kids this simple thing, too, about where does the money come from and just kind of, you know, that's something that I really feel like is important that they know. And like, you know, this church has been here for 25 years. How is that? I said, there's people that love the Lord. There's people that supported this ministry. There's people that came here and built this place and did the labor and all this, you know, to build these buildings. It's really important, I said, for this ministry. The kids see it as really important. A lot of people might not see it as really important or really, you know, but to the kids, it's important. It's important because a lot of them are home, you know, by themselves. Or some might say, when I take them home, I take a 15-passenger. My husband drives the bus. And we have different routes that we do. And they say, you know, can you take me last? Or, you know, we should have church every day, you know. They say different things like that. So the church is important to them. And when I explain to the kids, you know, I'm going here to speak so that we can continue the ministry, they really feel like that is important. And they're just, you know, sometimes they'll write something down for me. You can say this or share this or different things like that. They're really seeing. They're really starting to understand, like, oh, okay. Like, it's just not about this, you know, but it's a bigger picture. Getting a bigger picture for the kids to see. And I know the reason, you know, my job, you know, we feed them a meal and, you know, we pick them up, all that, and we have class at 7, but my main job is to teach them Christ. That is the main purpose, is that they would know Jesus. That way they can eventually do the same thing. You know, I grew up, you know, on the settlement. I was raised out there. I lived out there, you know, for like 18 years, and we were taught, you know, that Jesus isn't for Native Americans, and so there was just this mentality, you know, and I didn't really hear the gospel till I was like, I don't know, maybe like 20 or something, the first time I really heard, other than Jesus wasn't for, you know, the Indians, you know, that's all I ever heard. So that told me they're not atheists, you know, they obviously believe in, you know, that there is, but they just don't know he's for them. As far as the Meskwaki, you know, the different tribes are different, but that's kind of how that it is right now. But one thing that I'm seeing in saying that is that we have Hispanic kids that are coming. We have, you know, a few Caucasian kids. We have some African-American kids. And then we have a lot of, also, they might be part this, part that. You know, part Cheyenne, part Comanche, part Meskwaki. You know, a lot of the Lakota, Dakota Sioux. There's a lot of that, a lot of the mix that's happening. So, I don't know. I just really, you know, really stress the importance to these kids and really appreciate, you know, all the donations and all the help. You know, I never would have, you know, thought one day that, you know, that they'd be a church again out there. There was years ago, and that was all vandalized and burnt down and destroyed after the man that came and did that church for, I think he was there for 14 years before that church ended. And then there wasn't anybody for I don't know how many years it was. I thought it was like 20 years maybe. There was a group of people that would get together and pray, a group of men. I think Ron Bryan and Laverne Seth was one of them, and praying for somebody to come to Meskwaki. And that's kind of how the mission got started. Victor and Brenda, you know, heard about it or received notice, and then they came, and that's how the church got going. And it was from people, you know, people that love the Lord and care about the people. And, you know, you know, I think about, you know, this scripture I was kind of looking at recently, and it, you know, it talks about hope, and it's in Romans 8, and how that the Holy Spirit is our helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper to lead us, and there's been great, you know, lots of great people, lots of great help, a lot of great mentors, teachers, but the Holy Spirit will lead you, and he's your helper. You know, we can do all things through him. And it's just really a blessing, you know, to, like I said, to read that scripture and know that in Romans 8, it says that the Holy Spirit helps you in your infirmities, in your weaknesses. He intercedes for us with groanings that's just, you know, with that you don't even have the words, but he intercedes for us. And Jesus sits at the right hand to make intercession for his saints. He's on our side, and we're on his. And I just believe we can, you know, I do believe we can do great things. I mean, Jesus is the greatest, you know. But that is my most important thing, is to teach him Christ and to appreciate the people that donate the money and the time to come out there. I really want them to respect. If you come to speak, I want them to respect you. I don't allow prejudice, any kind of thing like that, bullying. I don't want that. You know, I was telling the kids earlier, I said, I want, the greatest commandment, I said, is that we love one another. That we love one another. He said, you know, if we can do that, we can do the rest. You know, everything else will be more simpler, but that is the main thing, is that we love one another. And that's what I was teaching the kids, besides sharing them Christ. But in order to love one another, they need the Lord. Anyways, I don't know what else that I was... Oh, you have a few pictures there? Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's Jean. She's been serving at the church for 25 plus years, and she also attends, you know, Sunday morning service, and she's just, you know, been a real blessing to the church. She, you know, washes the dishes, serves the kids. She just loves doing that, and she's going to be 90 years old, and she don't look like it, but she just still, you know, I mean, I see her growing spiritually. I do. She is really...
What do you want to do for her birthday?
When we have the USFW in October, that I we'd like to honor her in some way, because, you know, she never asks for nothing. She doesn't ask for nothing, and she doesn't complain. She never complains, so I would like to honor her at that time when we have the USFW, and I'm... You know, really encouraging people to come, even from the LeGrand Friends area. I mean, the different churches that are nearby, to get involved, to come. And I was really hoping that we could, you know, like serve, you know, have the ladies that have always worked on the USFW, like some of us ladies from the other churches can come and serve them. I don't know what that one is. I don't know if there's any questions. I couldn't find my list. I got last year's reports. I should compare them. But.
About what Jean said she wanted for a birthday, if we got her something. Can you do that?
What did she say?
A bicycle with three wheels.
Oh.
She didn't have a car.
Yeah. Jean, this is what Jean would want, she said, if she was to get something. It was a bicycle with three wheels, because she doesn't have a car. So we pick her up and we mow her lawn for her, but she's been asking for a bike. And but, did you have a question?
I just wanted to hear a little bit more about what happens on Sundays.
Sundays? It seems like for a while we were getting, you know, it was going pretty good. Then now there's a decrease, and I think, you know, summer might have something to do with it. But there's also, with the recent deaths that happened, with, you know, the murders and stuff, and the families that come to church, I think it's really kind of rocked their faith a little bit. They're kind of going through the stage right now of anger, I think. But one of the sons is coming back now, so... They've been contacting me, and I think it's a perfect time with this, family, faith, and friends with Aaron Thomas. Yes, and that he'll be, and that's the guy that from Parkersburg that his father was murdered by one of the kids in the school with. Yeah, he'll be at the LeGrand High School gym this Sunday, and the families that I've taken the flyer to and showed them, they're pretty excited. They're making contact again with me. Like, they know that there's no other way to turn. They tried this, that, you know, to try to ease their grieving, their sorrow. But now they're coming back. You know, they're coming back to, you know, it's Jesus, not, you know, recognizing that again. And that's why it's important, too, that we as believers, I feel like it's important that we be strong leaders, you know. I mean, be good examples to... Strongest, because when they're in trouble, they'll call me, you know? They'll call me. They know where to call. That's Xander, my daughter's there, and then Xander, I've had him over a year. And I don't know what's going to happen with him yet, if, you know, they're going to, you know, let the parents have him back or not. The parents are just real unstable right now, but the courts are still, you know, they still want to give them chances. Did I see another hand up? But I spoke, you know, last week at the USFW and Western Yearly Meeting, and there's a real interest. Real interest in Meskwaki. It was a, you know, I, yeah. At first, you know, if you know, you kind of like walking to a place, and, you know, I don't look that, you know, great or anything, or, you know what I mean? And people aren't really like, they don't really pay too much attention, but you start sharing these stories about the kids and what the Lord is doing, then there's an interest. So it's important, you know, to share, and it's important for me to get out there, and the kids know that, you know. They're just getting to this place where they're very supportive, and they know that one day they're going to be doing this. They'll be doing, you know, mission somewhere or wanting to help somewhere. And when they want to serve at church, I let them, you know. They're coming to me and say, can I serve or can I do this? Yes. Yes, you can. My husband there, he works full time. And then he's a great help for the church, a great. And, you know, I'm wearing this T-shirt, too, because it's going to be the 100th annual powwow next week at Meskwaki. And, you know, my brother's the one that's heading the powwow, you know, in charge of it. And he's like, invite churches. And for them to say that, that's like, wow, you know. He's really like, let them know, you know. Get all your church friends and bring them and all these churches that you know and invite them to come to the church. But I do want to say too that I'm really thankful for, you know, Spencer's been coming out bringing a few kids, one boy in particular that's pretty consistent. The kids are really getting used to, you know, instead of just coming one time, he's continued to come, you know, continue. And that's where, you know, it seems like the kids are getting used to them. And then maybe if you're not there, they're going to be like, where's Spencer? You know, that's just how they are. And Charlotte and Lloyd have been a great help to us at Meskwaki. They've been there for over a year, and that's pretty humble because they come and hear me preach on Sunday too. They just don't help us on Wednesday, but to come and to be a big help and a big support to the ministry.
Okay. We want to pray for you this morning, this afternoon, I guess. it's all running together now. Deneen and Juan have been serving ably. This ministry is a ministry by faith. It depends entirely upon your support. I can't underscore that enough. Entirely on the support of the churches and the friends that are spread across the Midwest. Please keep them in your prayers. Danina, I can pray for you. Mm-hmm. Gracious Lord, you know what a blessing Danine and her family have been in my life. And I just pray for that blessing to be spread out across the entire yearly meeting. In the last year, we have seen significant improvements in relationships outside of Meskwaki and under the leadership of Juan and Deneen. And so we pray, Lord, that they stay in tune to you and that the rest of us are sensitive to what you are wanting to do.
Yes.
This is an outreach that very few people would have within the state of Iowa. It is an outreach that, as Deneen has so eloquently told us today, all manners of people come there for worship. On a personal note, I just drove all the way to Montana, Lord, and you let me partake in all that beauty. And every tribal land I drove through, I thought about Meskwaki. And there are many. So, Jesus, let that be a message that's laid on all our hearts, that you will bless this ministry. Let us go forth in faith, proudly serving you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, dear.
You know, one thing that Ron reminded me of, you know, one thing he said that that I want to share is I was in prayer one day. I don't know how long ago, but this is before I started at Meskwaki. But, you know, just praying and, you know, just spending time with the Lord. And the Lord showed me that he would use Meskwaki, the Meskwaki Nation, and take it to the other tribes. Take it to the other tribes from there, but he would start with that tribe. And that tribe has been the most hardest to reach for the gospel, you know? I mean, they write that in books. They say, you know, God gave white man the Bible, and he, you know, gave Native Americans a drum, you know. I mean, they're just so resistant to missionaries and the gospel that it makes sense, and that shows that that's God, that God would raise up Meskwaki Nation, and Meskwaki would take it to the other tribes. And I really believe that the Lord showed me that. And that's why I'm, you know, just endeavoring to continue to serve there, no matter what it costs.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Next up, Quakerdale. They have a whole lot of things to talk about, I'm sure, right? Rob and Dan are here to fill us in.
We're gonna tag team a little bit. Well, I'm not, as I usually do, I'm not going to talk much about my report that's written down. I always try to get double duty to talk about something else also. So hopefully you'll read the report and it'll make sense to you if you haven't already. If not, questions are always welcome. Quakerdale is an ever-evolving ministry, and you know, the theme, standing on the shoulders of giants, is exactly what we're doing at Quakerdale. And every one of these ministries that you're hearing about and all the things that have happened to bring us to this point in this day is pretty exciting to be a part of. But it's not any different than what is happening at Meskwaki or the camp, needing to adjust to a culture that's changing. And that's what we're doing. Being around for 165 years, it's happened a lot before I ever got here. And many of you have been very much a part of that. And the support and the encouragement and the participation that's happened through those years has made it possible for us to help more and more families. And so as we move into that, I want to get a little audience participation here. When you think of Quakerdale, just yell out kind of what you think of when you think of Quakerdale.
Helping kids
in what way? Got any way in mind that we...
Blankets.
Yes, churches send blankets, make blankets. How else do you think of Quakerdale?
Structure.
Structure in kids' lives. All right.
Basketball.
That's a newer one.
College credit
is a newer one with Barclay.
Emma Macy
is now involved from Bangor Liberty Friends Church at our Van Orman House for women who are transitioning from homelessness to hopefully being self-sufficient. What other ways? Second chances has probably been some of the ways that most people have thought about getting involved with Quakerdale. And I'll tell you, as we talk about this, it takes a lot of work to turn some things around inside our minds, because I often say people think about Quakerdale as a great place for those people. And I think it's a great place for you. And maybe some things that you're doing that I'm hoping as we move forward, we're going to see how we can team up together. And, you know, just about a year ago, we had a strategic planning process that we went through. And we do that every 3 to 5 years, usually every 3 years. One of the main discussions were, how can we team up with the churches of the yearly meeting? How can we be more involved and in touch with the yearly meeting? And that is really what we're excited about. And I hope that as your church is, and I say this almost every year, entering and getting involved with new things, that you think about how maybe we can help in that process. So as we move forward, I'm going to ask Dan, I'm going to give Dan a chance to talk a little bit about one of the ways, you know, all the things we've always done, residential care, transitional living, shelters for kids, now the Promise Academy, the
basketball program, transitional living for homeless women, has been mobile camp, lots and lots of different things that we've been and are doing. We're trying to move that in some new ways, and I'll let Dan talk a little bit.
Many of you remember last year when I came, we reported on the new web application tool that we developed called the Discovery Network. We have just test piloted our version of that for our ministry that we're doing called the Resource Assistance Network. It's the tool that we're using for it. The reception we're getting is just unbelievable. We have gone to the business and organization world to partner with them to help coordinate ministry within a community by collecting a database and then giving access to that database through Quakerdale staff on behalf of them. The Resource Assistance Network gives us really basically three things we need to do in terms of rebranding who Quakerdale is. Most of the time when I talk to people about Quakerdale all over where we're serving, well, that's the place you send the bad kids. That's the ones where the kids, they got out, they stole a car, and they went wild, and so they have all these stories. But nobody says anything about the fact that we could benefit or Quakerdale actually has something to offer to us. So we're going to fix that through the Resource Assistance Network. The first thing it's new is going to help us develop relationships with just regular organizations and other ministries in the community by us being a support to what they're doing. Some of those ways are what, Rob?
Well, I think let's just talk about the pastor who's out in the maybe a rural community, and somebody walks in and says, I need something that the church can't give. The pastor doesn't know how to give it to them. Being a part of the network is something where that pastor can say, you know, I'm going to put that out on the network. And this is a software system. We talked about it before, but it's a software system where the pastor then can say, we're a part of a network, and we're going to send it out on the network and see who can help us. It may be that they've got a family member who's been in the hospital, and they're going through all this trouble with somebody, a family member in the hospital, but their roof needs to be done. Could be something like that. But it's saying, we've got a need. We don't know how to get it taken care of, and it needs to be taken care of. How can we do that? And it's also talking with other ministries, not just churches, but helping other ministries find the way to do ministry. We've got an organization that's part of our network that helps families who, when a child dies, helps them cover the costs. And that's because of something that they went through that's related to that. All kinds of things like that are those types of examples of the way the network can be used.
When we go into, just giving an example, like the Carroll community, trying to introduce Quakerdale and here we are and what we can do, one nonprofit to another one, they have a tendency to go, uh-oh, here goes part of our funds. Somebody else is going to come in and grab the limited dollars that are there. I said, no, we're here actually to help you be more effective in the ministry you're doing. For instance, let's say you're working with a client. You don't know where to get a resource. Call Quakerdale. We'll find it for you. And we'll deliver it to you so that you deliver it to the person. The person in need doesn't even know that Quakerdale was even involved with it. The whole idea is to keep the relationship that's building between the current ministry and the people they're serving and just deepen that and enrich that where it's going. The other way, like Rob mentioned, you're not going to believe this, but you know who our first person to sign on as a referral and resource partner for us was in Carroll? Department of Human Services, Carroll County. Why? So many times they go out and they try to they make an assessment, and either because of the income that's going on or because of the limited number of services that they have, they can do nothing. Matter of fact, the director said, Dan, about 60% of the time we can't do anything. You wouldn't believe how we've been praying to find some sort of way that that we can address that other 60% and say, we got something that can help you. They now carry Quakerdale Resource Network cards with them, all their workers, DHS now, okay? And when they can't do something for them, they say, call Quakerdale. And we turn right around and we mobilize ourselves. We don't get involved with them. Who do we go involved with? DHS. And so all we're doing is just augmenting, we're supplementing, we're supporting their ministry. The second way that we do this is by helping people understand that we're just a part of your community. We're here just like you. We're not just those people that have a a something over in Manning or whatever. And one of the ways we're doing this is through business. You want to tell us a little bit about how that works?
Yeah, businesses are actually, ironically, being more receptive to this idea than churches are. But one of the ways we're going in and talking to businesses is saying, you know, you've got employees and they have things that go on in their life. What is it like to have an employee who's going through a problem in their life? How good of a worker are they? How productive are they? Well, not very. And they miss a lot of work. So if there was a way that we could help you with that, would that be something you'd be interested in? And great, great responses with that. But also, there are businesses that are trying to give back to the community and trying to figure out how to make a difference. For example, UPS. Dan's been able to talk with them and their regional leader, and they have a real volunteer program. But they're trying to figure out how to orchestrate it in a way that's helpful. And so we're excited about the idea that they're going to get involved in the network because it will help them do what they want to do to help the community. And so, as you can see, there's just a lot of different ways that as we reach out in the community and find different people to get involved, lots of neat light bulbs are coming on. Light bulbs we never even thought existed.
Kim Winkleman over at Bank of the West in Carroll County, in Carroll, when I was talking with about, by the way, we're piloting it in Carroll, that's why that name comes up. She said, Dan, this is unbelievable. He says, here's what happens. So many times when we're talking to people about money and what they're doing, there's so many other things that are going on in their life that they don't know what to do with. So you're telling me that all I have to do is have a collection of these cards in my drawer, and if I run across a situation where I think you guys could be a service for them that has absolutely nothing to do with the bank, all I got to do is give them a card and you're going to help them? I said, yeah, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. So and then he talked about UPS. So it's just amazing how just the general public is basically saying, this is really a good idea. We want you to help us help our community be a great place to live. The third benefit this is going to give for us, and this is more about who we are as Quakerdale, we have really taken a hard line on challenging people to be missionaries in the community as they are as a staff person. Well, one of the problems you run into is that as you're working with what we're doing in Quakerdale, you run across things that people need, and then you have no clue what to do. So you usually just either ignore it or say, oh, man, that's too bad. Can I pray for you? Well, not anymore. Now what they can do is they can do one of two things. Every one of our staff people can either give them a Hope for Healing Resource Assistance Network card, and they can call themselves, or on behalf, they can say, you know what? Our company is part of a resource assistance network program. How about if I call them and see if I can't help you find what you need and begin to grow and deepen a personal relationship one-on-one, mobilizing the people of the kingdom of God to do kingdom work so that they can deliver resources to people? No, so they can deliver Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people out there that can give resources. The unique thing that we have is that in the process of delivering resources, we are also delivering Jesus Christ. And that is the most exciting part that I think that allows us to do, is be able to expand the reach that we can have for the kingdom of God through our referral partners, our resource partners, our support group partners, and our financial partners. So that's what's happening. If you want more information about it and how you can be involved, on our table is a packet that looked like this. It describes the program. Pick it up and go through that. If you'd like me to come to your church, or if you'd just like some more personal information or time, there's a green card back there. Fill that out, what you're interested in, and some dates and times or whatever, and I'll come out and give a personal presentation to your church or your organization. Business owners, the number one thing we need between now and August 12th is people who want to be resources and people who want to say, here's a card, call Quakerdale. We need those desperately. The cost is nothing. So if you'd like to join us in helping the kingdom of God grow unbelievably fast in a real short period of time, prayerfully consider how you or your business or your ministry or your church could be a part of this, either in helping people or letting people know there's an option. Just call the number or email hopeforhealing@quakerdale.org, and we'll get what you need.
So one of the things that we have implemented at Quakerdale is what's called the Declaration of Service. And our mission, our vision statement is to serve as Christ serves. And so we've declared that everyone is responsible to serve. And for a long time, it used to be
we do these things. Oh, you need that? Well, call them. Or I don't know how to help you. I'm not sure. We're kind of busy doing these things. And at this point, we have declared that anytime anybody needs something, that's what we're supposed to be helping with. And so no longer is it call them. We call it sponsorship. And we're going to sponsor you in getting what you need. It's kind of like I wrote in a newsletter, when you go to the grocery store and you say, hey, where's this? They say, let me take you to it. And instead of saying, oh, it's two aisles over up on the other side, west side of the building. That's what we believe we're to do. And we believe that through this process, we will be moving to helping a lot more. And I don't know if you want to talk any about that or if you want to be done.
Well, I can close with that unless
yeah,
you have
let's do that.
Numbers that we're looking for. We believe God has given us a vision to go from doing 2,500 services in 2013, 1,500 of which were through state contracts, 1,000 were through private services that we did, that in 2017 our goal is to do a total of 6,000 a year, 4,200 in private world, and 1,800 through contracts. Notice the importance of the going from 1,500 to 1,800. One of our biggest motivations for this thing is so that we can not only can continue to work with state contracts and the state, but we can also increase because the cost that we will be able to do it is so much less than what normal people would be able to because of the increase in the private world that really the state can't afford not to have Quakerdale help them in youth and families in the state of Iowa. So we're excited about it. We can't wait to report next year what's happening and the year after that and hopefully hit that $6,000 mark or more in 2017.
So we are standing on the shoulders of giants, and we're hoping to continue to be moving in the direction that God calls us. And we believe that one of the things that's interesting about Quakerdale and Quakers is we're very we're known to be responsible and action-oriented, which allows us to work with other churches and other groups and not be a threat. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very interesting dynamic that we've discovered as we move along, that the Quakers aren't seen as a threat, like they're trying to take our church members or any of those types of things. We are here to serve, and we're excited to see where God takes us.
Any questions? Comments?
So how could you help a church? A little more examples on that, okay? So somebody comes to us as pastors or ministers, and they say, we need X. What is your vision? I know you're just starting this, but...
Okay, there basically is four ways. The first way is as a referral partner. And what that would mean is what we want to do is as you are ministering to people and you run into a situation where you don't have a resource, okay, call us and let us help you find it. And let us deliver it to you so that you can continue to deepen and improve that relationship, okay? The second thing is challenge your people, the people that are business owners. Realize this is not giving away something for free. This could be mechanics, carpenters, transportation, meals, any kind of thing that you can think of, because what's going to happen is most of these referrals are going to come from a card that somebody picked up in the library or somebody passed on because of this, and now a church is delivering. So being a resource partner, yeah, we'd like to pool our resources together at the church, make that available, and see if we can help. And then probably the most significant one that a church can do is what we call a support group partner. There are people that either don't have a support network, or because of the issue that they're running through, their normal support network, they're not all that sure whether they want to engage them in this one. They just need a friend. Somebody that will just care through this time. Don't do any counseling. Just be there. Be an ear. Be like, do Job all the way up to where you sat in the ashes and then don't talk. They got it. They did a really good job, those guys did, didn't they, until they opened their mouth. Then it just went downhill from there. And people really just respect that and need it. And it's just for a short time. So that's probably the three main ways.
It's a whole different thing. It's not easy for people to figure out. It's really teaming up together. And if we all knew the needs that each other had in this room and the skills or resources that everybody else had in this room, we could solve a lot of problems. It just doesn't happen because we're not a part in that way. We don't share our needs. It's kind of Iowa's motto. You know, I'm independent, self-sufficient. I don't really want to talk about my problems. I'll help you anything you want, but, you know, and so that's what it takes.
Okay, maybe try it now. Along that same line, what about if we have resources that we think you can use, how do we implement those into the network?
Okay, that's a good question. You call me or you call my office and say, here's what we want to do. We will help you then put that on the network. Okay. Now, here's the nice thing about this unique thing. The guy that he was talking about at the UPS, United Way, he's a board member for the United Way. They've been trying to do this 2-1-1 system that's real similar to what we're doing, and it doesn't work. And after I started explaining to him what was going, he says, hey, you need to talk to our board. We maybe need to use your software for the United Way thing, and maybe we can figure out. Can you imagine us partnering with the United Way? I mean, how cool would that be? That would get us in all kinds of places to bring Jesus Christ. Go God. But the neat thing about that is here's the unique element. No person who has a need has direct access to the resource. They always have to go through somebody working on their behalf. Right now, that somebody is a Quakerdale staff person. So it gives us the opportunity to do a little bit of interviewing here, pre-qualify. What are we talking about here? What is this type of a thing? So that you know as a resource, if you got contacted, the only person you should be hearing from is a Quakerdale staff person. And then you'll know that we've made a pretty good match by how we do the keyword stuff on the software and everything to make sure that there's a good match here. And if you can't do it saying no, you're not saying no to the person in need, that's fine. We'll just go to the next match. And so it really should help the resources, one, protect you from just being bothered by anybody and everybody. And the second thing is being real. If you can't do it, just tell us it's not going to work this time. That's fine. And we'll go look for the next person that we can. And then hopefully the next time it happens, maybe it will work out. But we do all the work for you. Just let us know what you want to do, and we'll get you on.
Step one, if you want to sign up for this, step one.
Take a green card, fill it out, and on the back side, say that I want to join the network. Make sure either by email or phone call, and I'll start the conversation with you, and it goes from there.
I think everybody's signed up if you're going to do all the work. Huh?
Yeah, well, let me just clarify that.
Now, wait a minute. Whoa, all the work.
We save one thing for y'all. Okay, we save one thing for y'all. Be Jesus.
We'll get you connected.
You just be Jesus.
We just connect. I mean, and that's the interesting thing is we're just trying to help people do God's work. And we think that we've got a way to do that that is rooted in the right reasons and the right theology to do that.
I think we ought to have a prayer for Quakerdale. Huh? How many staff you got?
About 120.
120. You know, it is such a delight to know that we have this ministry, and it is seen as a ministry, and we're working at it as a ministry. And to have you guys leading, thank you. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, Quakerdale, all these souls that work for Quakerdale, but the multitude of souls they touch through what you have prepared them for and are calling them to do. Jesus, we pray for the leadership from the top down, including the board, that they make decisions that are right within your sight, and that, Lord, you continue to encourage them and supplement their every need. We ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we have one that will keep you asleep. That is the promise, right?
How much time do we have? What, 2 minutes? Oh, 15. All right, I don't have a PowerPoint today. Advance report on page 10. But you can check out pictures from Campus Ministry down in the lobby. Each one of those stories has each one of those pictures down there has a story with it. There are no pictures of the Jeep on the PowerPoint. But you can ask me, and I would love to tell you a story. I need to sign up for the Quakerdale Network so I can find a motor for the Jeep. And somebody help with wires. And okay, so we'll stop. So check out the pics down in the library. Again, I want to thank you for your support through the years for William Penn Campus Ministry. It's an honor to serve, and nothing personal, and the funnest, most multicultural ministry setting anywhere in the world. Sorry, for us, I love getting to serve here. The students, faculty, and staff can be another story, but serving the students are just. It is so much fun. Everybody, still people from all over the world, and every fall, you know, we get to find out, okay, who's coming in, who do we get to mess with this year that I get to and collaborate with, and the new challenges. I love it every year. This year, doing something different, and now I've got students on campus today, so I'm introduce you to two students that have been involved in leadership here. So if Bailey can make her way up. As she's doing that, the mission continues to be that one more student, if I can reach just one more student to be empowered, to be a spiritual leader, dependent on following Jesus and Scripture, in environments that are separate from Jesus' sovereign reign and a dependence on Scripture and the manner of friends. We do the community garden still. We have the teaching going. We have our numbers from last year. Higher numbers this last year than the years before. So we had 61 in worship in January was our high, which is another high, big year for us. Just continuing to develop student leaders to minister in secular places or a place with a different worldview than a church has, and leaders that can do that and bring it in that way. And that's what Bailey is about. So somebody say hi, Bailey.
Hello. Oh, I'm supposed to tell you about myself, apparently. So my name's Bailey. I grew up mostly in Grinnell, at Grinnell Friends. I don't know who just whistled. Who did that? Somebody did it. We took a little detour in Indiana for a while. My family did, but mostly at Grinnell. And I'm blessed to have a great family. I'm supposed to share a little bit of my testimony, so that's what Spencer said at least. So if I go long, blame him. So I am blessed to have a great family. Both my parents are members at Grinnell Friends. It's actually an interesting story how I ended up at Penn. My freshman year of college, I attended Cornell College in Mount Vernon, Iowa, and it's a great college. They have a great educational system there. They do the one course at a time thing, which is a little different than most colleges, and so I loved it there. I had great friends and a great roommate, which doesn't often happen your freshman year. A lot of people have interesting roommates their freshman year. But I had a great one. Her name was Becca. She's a pretty cool lady. But the summer after my freshman year of college, I went to this place called Uplift, which is a camp in Colorado. It's kind of an adventure camp, I guess is what you would call it. So we did lots of things where we did rock climbing one day, and we did some team building stuff like Chip was talking about that they have at camp now. So you go over the wall and then talk about, you know, your experience, what worked, what didn't, and lots of things like that. And so the third day we were there, it was a Wednesday, and for the afternoon we skipped lunch, so we fasted over lunch. And we were supposed to go out on the mountain. It was this huge, beautiful spot in Colorado in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. And We're supposed to go out on the mountain and just spend, we spent like 3 hours in quiet time with God and just listened and prayed and took paper with you and a little bottle of juice, and we're just supposed to go and listen. And so I listened, and I actually wrote a letter to my parents, and I told them, you know, I don't think I'm where I'm supposed to be. You know, I want to do something more with my time in college. And so I called Spencer when I got home, and I was like, you know what, I think I need to do something more ministry-oriented with my time in college. I need to go and do something, something more. And I knew Spencer was a campus minister here at Penn and was very into throwing kids into situations that they weren't ready for. And so that's what I did. Yeah, that's his phrase. You got this. You got this. I ended up at Penn. And so did Brad. Brad and I, some of you have probably met my husband, Brad. He's the yearly meeting intern this year. The crazy kid with the curly hair and the beard. Yeah, that's my husband. And Brad and I had been, we started dating our senior year of high school and got married last May. So, yeah, that's some of the cool things that have happened since I got transferred to Penn. I've gotten to do a lot of ministry things, which I would hope, because I'm in campus ministry. Yeah, it's whatever. So last year for spring break, for example, we went to St. Louis and participated in a program called City Lights, and which is through InterVarsity. I say a lot. I just realized that. I'm sorry. See, I did it again. I did it again. We went to City Lights, and I got to participate in a ministry called More Than Carpentry. It is this ministry that a master carpenter from the St. Louis area started. And they hire someone who is probably one of their least qualified applicants for a job, and they train them and give them a workable skill and teach them how to work with wood and to make beautiful things. And so I got to help with that and help clean up around their shop and do different things in that community. This last spring break, we went to New Orleans to Mardi Gras and got to minister there, which was a very interesting experience. Saw lots of things that I can't unsee, and got to see lots of cool things too. Probably one of my favorite stories from going to New Orleans was one night we were out on Bourbon Street, and there was this guy that was talking to a couple ladies about, you know, what it means to follow Jesus and what it means to be a Christian, and why he was here on Bourbon Street at Mardi Gras, and why he thought the things at Mardi Gras would fulfill him, even though, and he got there and they didn't, you know, they didn't make him happy. They didn't give him what he thought he wanted. And he was talking to some of the people there, and the next thing I look over, and he's throwing off his beads that he has on his neck, and he's throwing them off, and he just kneels down in the middle of Bourbon Street. All the Christian groups bring these huge, huge crosses. They're probably like 20, 30 feet high. And they put them together. And he's just kneeling before the cross and lifting his hands and, you know, saying, praise God. I couldn't really hear him because, you know, it's really loud on Bourbon Street. But, you know, he was praying and praising God, which was one of the coolest things I saw while I was there. We also do a lot of gigs, Spencer calls them. We go around speaking and playing music different places. We've been to Fairfield and to Arnold's Park and where else? Motor. And we've been a lot of other places. I wasn't at Pekin, but we've been to the Pekin High School also. Let's see. Once a month, Brad and I play at Grinnell Friends. Usually it's been once a month. This summer it's been kind of iffy because we've been up at camp and doing a bunch of different things. But we do lots of different things around the yearly meeting also. I also helped found the community garden at William Penn, which is like it's like two blocks that way. If you go down E Street right here, you seriously can't miss it. It's like this big garden in the middle of nowhere. So if you get bored one day or like, you know, want to take a walk or something, you can walk down to the community garden and check it out. I know there's corn and tomatoes and what else is there? Onions, herbs, all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of stuff in the community garden. So yeah, you could pull some weeds if you really feel like it. If you find that thing's therapeutic and you're getting tired of sitting in all these meetings, you could go over to the garden and pull weeds if you want. We would not say no. I'm just saying. Sweet corn is harvestable, so if you really want some sweet corn, I mean, you can't beat that. So some of the things that we need as a campus ministry to continue to grow and to continue to do ministry like we do, we never say no to books. I really like to read, and I know Spencer really likes to read, and some of the other campus ministry interns like to read also. Some of them. I would never say no to a book. All kinds of books. And I don't even know. Just books in general, really. That's, yeah. And Bibles. We give out, I don't even know how many Bibles a year. Tons and tons of Bibles every year. To students, to places where we go to minister. We just give them out all over the place. And so we are always in need of Bibles. So if you have Bibles and you would like to give them away, we would love to take them and give them out to people who need them. There are also many good ways to get involved at Campus Ministry on Penn. You could pray for us. That's one of the really easy ways to get involved. Pray for me and for Spencer and for all the other campus ministry leaders. Elias Thury is also a campus ministry intern. We have another girl named Rosie Hill, who is from California, around San Diego area, and she will be returning to us this fall in a couple weeks. Jamorse Lambert, is he here? Oh. Oh, Jamorse, he was here last year and rapped for you guys, and Alicia sang with him, right? No? Yes? Yeah? Okay. She wasn't quite ready for that one. But he was here last year, and he, I think it's his last year this year. He's a senior. And so he is also very involved in campus ministry. You could always attend a meeting. We have chapel going to be at the same time? Thursdays at 11 in the Chief Mahaska Room in the Union, where we have often held these meetings in the past. It's every Thursday at 11, right? Yeah. And then we also have InterVarsity, which is sort of campus ministry related a little bit. We have a lot of the same overlapping people that go to InterVarsity and do campus ministry. That's Tuesdays at 9 if you feel like staying up late and hanging out with some college students. If you're ever around Oskaloosa and want to just hang out, Spencer and I are more than happy to come and chill with you. You could also give money towards our budget. So we have to buy some new musical equipment this year. Our keyboard is kind of crapping out on us. The pedal for it doesn't work, and half the time the plug doesn't work for it either. We have to buy a new keyboard. We also need a new bass amp. Our bass amp is broken, so some money for that would be cool too. Anything else? A boom stand? We need a boom stand. I didn't know that. You could also bring Penn to your church. So if you don't want to come here, we'll go to you. I know Mac McDonald there in the back is bringing us out in October for one of the events that he's doing. We're also doing a pulpit fill at Grinnell over Labor Day weekend. So we're going to go there and play and preach too, I think. Yep, so you got this. So I think that's all that I have. And apparently Robert is supposed to come up here now and talk about some of the things that he's doing as a graduate from Penn.
Thanks, Bailey. So as Spencer said, one word that I really want to focus on is empowered. And working with Spencer, I feel empowered. Just as Bailey was able to stand up here and speak, so Spencer's allowing me to stand up here and speak. On the first day, the first meeting that I had with Spencer, he says, "Robert, I want to work myself out of this job." Not that he's tired of being campus minister, but that hopefully he can raise up leaders that are good enough to do his job for him. Better than him. Far, far better than him. In my time working with Spencer, I have felt empowered. I feel empowered today that I can stand before you and talk confidently about my relationship with Christ, because Spencer has asked me the question every time we've ever met, "What have you been reading?" Every single time. And that one question right there was enough to get me reading scripture every single day. To the point now where, even though I don't see him every week, I still continue to read because it's good for me. And I can, my wife Sarah and I, we're going to be moving to Long Beach, California at the end of August in hopes of working with Cambodian people. We're going to be living with a Cambodian family. And then by July of 2017, we want to be in Cambodia as full-time missionaries. We feel that's where God's calling us. And I would not have been able to do this if not for the faithfulness of Spencer and the opportunities I had with campus ministry to be able to learn how to do real-world ministry. Spencer put me in that position from my first year here. Say, "Hey, here's a group of people that need Jesus. Go and do ministry." I think we learn ministry by doing it, and you guys know this. But I've learned about discipleship because I've been discipled. That's it. Spencer's discipled me, and I can stand before you because of that discipleship. I'm going to turn it over to questions. You guys have any questions at all?
Thank you, Robert. Questions for Robert or Bailey? Is Bailey still in, or did she take off? She's out sweating bullets and getting. Any questions for me about campus ministry stuff? Or Robert, or I can't ask Bailey now. She took off. Real life experiences start with doing. I go to camp through the year. As you heard, I go to Meskwaki in the summers. There's the founding of the community garden, so we do a lot of collaborative work with different groups on campus. I still teach Old Testament, New Testament, and guitar stuff, guitar bass on campus. And then I have my drop-in times and the programming and developing student leaders. FCA was excellent this year with Tom, had a big part in that. College Avenue Church has been excellent, growing in its ability to bring students in. View Scott out there. Scott's not here now. Oh, I can talk about him. So Scott coming onto campus, and so using Scott to speak. It's all a big team. There you are. I didn't hear you. I didn't think you were here. Or I could have. Scott's here. Okay, no. Yeah. Okay, so we're out of time. Questions.
This isn't a question, but a quick plug. We've had Spencer for a long time, and like Robert, I got my start in ministry with this guy right here, and it's taken me all over the place. It's just been amazing. But one plug for having William Penn come to your church, I really encourage that experience. We actually partnered with Wilson this year, and they came and actually did a special service for us, and we had kids from our area, not just from the Friends churches, but we invited everybody, and I really sold it as a chance to get diversity and come here because we had kids from Florida, Kansas City, Burma, I was way off, Burma, see, there's so many places, I don't even know, but for a rural, we're in a really rural Caucasian area, so for these kids to go, and then we had a meal for them afterwards, and I'll tell you, college kids love to be fed, and we just did some pizza and ice cream, and I thought we had more than enough, and they love to be fed, we probably had, 20 pizzas, but we're down here rubbing elbows with our kids. They're talking about their experiences in the inner city. They're asking them questions about the farm. It was an iron sharpens iron experience, and I really just encourage you. It didn't take much time. They were really gracious, great testimonies, and the depth of some of these kids. I'll tell you, because I've been able to watch them grow over the years. Some of them I met as freshmen and now are seniors, like Robert. I remember that nervous freshman getting up at my church, and he said one thing. The next time he came, I couldn't turn him off, man. It was just like, all right, Robert, it's getting dark. We need... But I really, it's fun to watch that growth. And this year, for the first time, I've seen depth growth in almost all of them. And the same for the FCA athletes as well. I know Pastor Tom can talk a lot more about that. But we've had FCA come to our FCA. And having college kids meet with high school kids, that's an experience high school kids want. That's who they're looking up to. Just as elementary kids look up to the high school varsity player, the high school varsity player is looking up to college because that's who they want to be. So why not bring in Christian kids if that's who they want to be, before the campus introduces them to the athletes that aren't Christians? Because those are the kids they'll meet the first day on campus. Why not hook them up with some people that have God and Christ already in them and can show them the right way to be living on campus? So I really encourage you to pray for him and all the things that they're doing, Pastor Tom and all the supporting people. But that's it. Sorry. Thank you, Tim.
Okay. Let's pray for the campus ministry. Heavenly Father, there are many, many different parts and players in the variety of ministries here on this campus. We've heard the stories. We know some of the people that have served as leaders here who were instrumental in starting campus ministry here. We just pray, Lord, that that will continue with your blessing. We pray for this coming fall. Not very far away, actually. 2 weeks. Students will be back. So, Lord, we just ask for your guidance upon all the leadership and the ministry gifts that you have equipped these young people that are coming in with, that they'll all come in together to glorify you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.